Begin the current daf mesech, the Shabbos daf peches. We begin on top of the Yom, where the Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf. We're discussing Kabbalah Satara Shavuos, the Yom Tov Shavuos, and there's a machlekes between Reis and Rabbanan. What was the exact date of Shavuos? Was it Vav Sivan or was it Zayin Sivan? Related to that machlekes are also different variables in regards to when was Rosh Chodesh that year, which was the day that they came to Midbar Sinai. Was it on Sunday or was it on Monday? And also related to that was also when was the Hafrasha, when did they separate from their wives? Was it on Wednesday or on Thursday? According to the Mandama that says that at Zayin Sivan Rabbi Yosi, that's when Kabbalah Satara, everyone agrees it was on Shabbos. Question is, if it was Zayin Sivan or was it Vav Sivan? So he holds that it was Zayin Sivan, and therefore the Hafrasha took place on Wednesday. And they came on Sunday, which was Rosh Chodesh, according to the Rabbanan, that they say that Shabbos, which was Kabbalah Satara, was Vav Sivan. The separation took place on Thursday, and they came to the Midbar Sinai, which was Rosh Chodesh, according to everybody, but that was on Monday, not like Rabbi Yosi on Sunday. So the Gemara continues trying to attempt to prove, either like Rabbi Yosi or Rabbanan, when was the exact timing of Shavuos of Kabbalah Satara. So Toshima, we learn the Braisa, the Tanya we learn. B'Seder Olam, in the Braises that are collected, which are called Seder Olam, the order of the world, says the following historical piece. Nisan Shabbo Yotzi Yisrael Mitzrayim, the Nisan of that year when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, Egypt. On the 14th of Nisan, that's when they slaughtered their Korban Pesach. On the 15th is when they left Egypt. And that day was a Friday. So now the Gemara develops the proof. From the fact that the beginning of Nisan was Erev Shabbos, which is 2 weeks earlier. In other words, if the 14th of Nisan is a Friday, that means two weeks earlier is going to be on a Friday also, because exactly 2 weeks before, 14 days before, that's Rosh Chodesh. So if Rosh Chodesh Nisan was Erev Shabbos, so then Rosh Yair Chad B'Shabbos. So it comes out that Rosh Chodesh Yir was on a Sunday, because Nisan is always full month of 30 days, and therefore if you add 30 days, it's going to come out onto a Sunday. Then when you go to Sivan, Betrei B'Shabbos is going to come out on a Monday, because Iyar is always Chasar, is always 29 days. So Kash Rabbi Yosi, it's difficult according to Rabbi Yosi that he said that when was Rosh Chodesh Sivan? That was on a Sunday. And here we see, according to the calculations, that Rosh Chodesh of Sivan was on a Monday, not on a Sunday. On that, Amlach Rabbi Yosi, Haman Rabban, he says, what are you asking me from this Braisa that we find in Seder Olam? That opinion is going to the other Tanaim. We're all Tanaim. So that was, they authored that opinion. However, I argue and I say that no, that Yerush Chedish was not on a Monday, rather it was on a Sunday. Tashma, the Gemara tries to bring another proof. Rabbi Yosi Omer B'Sheni Olam Moshe B'Yard, that on the second day that they were there, Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim, and he heard what Hashem told him, Va'atim Tiyuli Mamlechas Koinim B'Goy Kodesh, that you should be a kingdom of priests. And then he came down, and he told this to Klal Yisrael. B'Shlishi Olam B'Yard, and on the third day he went up and he came down. That is, he heard that Hashem said that you should make hagbalos, you should make boundaries, and he came down and told Klai so that you now go past a certain point of where the Har Sinai is. B'dalad Yerid, on the fourth day he came down. That was to separate them from being intimate with their spouses. B'shubliyol, and then he didn't go back up again until the Kabbalahs of the Aseres Hadibris, when everyone came to Har Sinai together. Now the Gemara asks, on the wording, Me'achashle Olam Hechen Yard, from the fact that you said on the fourth day that he just came down, if he didn't go up, how'd he come down? So therefore, what does it mean that he just came down? So the Gemara amends it. The fourth day was just like the third and the second, that he went up and he came down. And he didn't go back up until Kabbalah Satara. So that was on the fourth day. B'chamishi bona mizbeach v'hikra lav karbon. On the fifth day, he built a mizbeach, an altar, and he sacrificed karbonis on there, like it says in the pasuk over there. V'yivin mizbeach tachasahar, that he built a mizbeach there by the foot of the mountain. B'ashishi lahoy l'pnai. And on the sixth day, he didn't have time to go up to Har Sinai. So the Gemara developed a question. Ma'ilav mishum Torah, isn't it because he was accepting the Torah? Everyone was there together getting the Aseres Hadibros, which seems to be a proof, not like Rabbi Yosi, that he said that it wasn't on the sixth day that it was Kabbalah Satara, rather on the seventh day, which was Shabbos, but on Friday, which was the sixth day, that he didn't. So, but why didn't he have time to go up then? So the Gemara says, Loi, Mishum Torah Shabbos, it wasn't that he was busy because he was getting the Aseres Hadibros, it's because he was preparing for Shabbos. As we know that everyone agrees that Shavuos was on Shabbos. And that Friday, like just like every Friday, everyone's busy getting ready for Shabbos. So too, that's why he didn't have time to go up. But that's not because he was busy getting the Torah. So the Gemara says an interesting concept. Darash Ahug Lilo led Rav Chizda. It was an individual from the Galilee that was saying this exposition in front of Rav Chizda. It says, Baruch Rachmano, Diyov, Urien Tlisai, Hashem should be blessed. that he gave a Torah of thirds, that is, the Torah split into thirds, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, the prophets and the writings, La'am Tlisa, to a nation of thirds. Now, Klai Yisrael is also split into thirds, Kahanim, Levi'im, and Yisraelim. Al Yidei Tlisai, through a third, that is, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was the third in line from his mother's womb. There was Miriam, Aaron, and Moshe. And it's also B'yom Tlisa, it was on the third day of abstinence that the husbands and the wives were separated. B'yarchit Tlisa, on the third month, which was the month of Sivan. So that was what this drasha that this person from the Galilee was talking about. Chesigmar says, come on, which opinion is this like? That's Karabanan, because the Rabbanan were the ones that said that there was the third day of the separation was the day of the Kabbalah Sotera. According to Rabbi Yossi, it was the fourth day because you had to be separated for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then only on Shabbos was. So when we're saying on the third day of the separation, that's this drasha was going according to the Rabbanan that they said the separation was on Thursday and not on Wednesday. So now the Gemara brings to Magadta Gemara, it's related to the Ma'ira, the actual story, the greatest moment in Klai Yisrael by Matan Torah. So it says, Vayisyatsu betachtasar, that they stood at the foot of the mountain. However, the wording betachtasar sounds like under the mountain. How is that possible? Amar avdimi barchama barchosa melamed. This comes to teach, Shekof HaKadosh Baruch HaLeim HaSaharkiki, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered over the nation, and that is, he turned the mountain on top of them like an upturned vat. And therefore, that the vat is like something that they put beer in, so you turn it upside down. It was literally that they were under the mountain. What was the purpose of that? Vamalahem, im atamikavim ha-tari mutav, if you accept the Torah, then so be it. That's the good, that's what we want. Vimlav, sham take rest. If not, this is where you're going to be buried. So therefore, they put them under the mountain to say, look up, if you don't take this Torah, the world's coming to an end, and it's going to come crashing down on your head. So the Gemara says, here is a strong notification regarding the Torah, that if, let's say, they bring a person to judgment, why weren't you mekayim the Torah, what you accepted? So you could say, what do you mean? I was forced, I was coerced into it. What do you mean? That wasn't something I did willingly. However, Rava says, Klai Yisrael, the Jewish nation, went back and received it with love and out of desire to keep the Torah in the days of Achashverosh by the story of the Megillah Esther. Like it says in the pasuk over there, kimu vekibla yehudim, that the Jews established and accepted. It was this repetition of they established and they accepted. So the Gemara says, kimu mashakiblikra, that is, they established what they had already accepted. And that is, although originally there was a way out, a wiggle room, however now he said, no, now we want it. We told Hashem, it's not something that was forced upon us. That was the great Kabbalah Satira that they had in the days of Shvesh from the love of the miracle that was done for them. That's why they reaccepted it, not by force, but rather out of love. Also on this topic, the Gemara says, what does this mean when it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Mishemayim Hishmata Din, that from the heavens your judgment has been heard, which that din is a reference to Torah, that it was heard from the heavens. Eretz Yaro v'shakata, the earth grew afraid and then grew calm. So the question is, im Yaro l'mashakta. So this is, the Torah is coming from Shemayim, and now the earth is afraid and it grew calm. So the Gemara asks, im Yaro l'mashakta, if it was afraid, so why did it grow calm? Vim shakta l'mayara, and if it was calm, why was it afraid? So rather, the Gemara says, El Batchil, rather, in the beginning, before Klal Yisrael said, Nasav and Ishmael Yeroah, the earth was afraid. Maybe Klal Yisrael is not going to accept the Torah, and the whole world is going to go back to Tayyavo, that's it, it's over, its time is up, like the Gemara is going to bring from Rish Lakish. Well, say, however, at the end, when they were Makabal the Torah, then Shekhata, then the earth grew calm. V'lama Yeroah, why was it originally afraid? Because Rish Lakish, Dom Rish Lakish, Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean, the Pasuk in Bereishish, Vayihir, Vayivayki Yim Hashishi? That it was evening and it was morning and it was the sixth day. Why is this day different than all the other days? It says Hashish, the sixth day of the creation of the world. And every other day just says Yom Sheni Shlishi. It doesn't say Ha the, which means the always means the prominent, the one that we know about. So Hey, you say Lomeli. Why do we need extra Hey? Melamishes Nakadosh Baruch Hu Ma'aseh. It comes to teach us that Kadosh Baruch Hu made a condition with the creation of the world. Vamlam, and he said to everything that was created, Im Yisrael Mekabel HaTorah Atem Miskayemim. If the Jewish people accept the Torah, then you'll survive. If not, I will return you all to astonishing nothingness. And that's learned out from the word Hashishi that comes to tell us there's a specific, the sixth day, there's a famous sixth day somewhere else which is going to be the real player, which is the sixth of Sivan, that when the Torah was given, That's the day that's going to define for you. Vayir ve'yivayker, the end of Maaseh Bereishis, it says it all the way at the end, is all going to be depending on the Yom HaShishi, which is Shishi of Sivan, and that's the day that's going to define and solidify your creation. So Darush Reb Simoy, Reb Simoy expounded. It says, B'shoshik dimi Yisrael nasal nishma, at the time when the Jewish people first said that we will do and then we will hear, they came 60 myriads of ministering angels came to every single Jew. Right? A myriad is 10,000, so 600,000 angels came to every single Jew. And they tied onto them two crowns from the glory, from the splendor of the divine presence. They each got two crowns. One in relation to that they said that we will do, and one because they said that we will listen. However, Kivin Shachat Yisrael, once they sinned over there by the Chet HaEgel, right there after the Kabbalah Satari, Yardu Meyeve Esrim Ribe Malachi Chabal. Then it came down 120 myriads of destructive angels. That is because when it came to giving, each one had two, but when it came to taking away, each one took one. Upirkam, and they took off the crowns of the Jewish people. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, in Shemuel Yisrael, it's not Slubene Yisrael as Ed Yom HaChab, that the Jewish people were stripped from their jewelry that they had gotten from Har Sinai. He says, that they were loaded up with these crowns by Har Sinai. And that's what it's mashma that es edgem, when it says that their jewelry that they had was from Har Chayriv. However, b'chayriv parku, it was also at Har Sinai itself that they were unloaded, because that's also mashma in the pasuk, but it's not so es edgem Har Chayriv, that they were stripped from their jewelry already from Har Chayriv. As the Gemara says, b'chayriv tanu kedamaran, that they were loaded up at Har Sinai, like we said, from the Pasuk, that was the drasha that each one came to give two crowns to each one of the Jewish people. And B'chayiv Parku at Har Sinai, that's where it was removed from them. The Chesiv is not something they stole of a Gomer, like the Pasuk over there ends off, that it was stripped from them as Edgem, their jewelry, Mehar Chayiv, already from Har Chayiv, the same place where they got it, that's the same place where they lost it. However, Amar Yechonim, B'kulan Zacha Moshe Natal, Moshe Beinu merited, and he took all the crowns for himself. Like it says in the pasuk near there, that Moshe took the tent. And Rashi gives two interpretations. Either that you have to split the pasuk in half, that Moshe took, what he take, going back in the pasuk before, that he took their jewelry. And then the pasuk says, the oil, it goes on to say something else. Or another interpretation, Rashi, is that Moshe yikach ha'sa'el, the word oil is related to the word in the E of Chavtes, behiloi neiroi, that the shining lamp, which is the shine, oil means the shine, that was the shine, the Karen, the horns of glory that Moshe Rabbeinu had was from the crowns that he took that the Jewish people lost, that he took. That was Vikach, Moshe Yikach HaSa'oil, that he took the shine. Those are the crowns that he inherited. However, Amir Shlokish, Asra HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Achzir Lona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will ultimately return us these crowns. Shnam, like it says the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Ufeduye Yashem Yeshuvin, the redeemed ones Hashem will return. Uvo Tzin Barina, they will come to Tzin, to Eretz Yisrael, with joy. V'simchas oil mal reishim, and an eternal happiness will be on their heads. So the Gemara explains, what does it mean, a simchas oil mal reishim? A simchas shimei oil mal reishim, a joy, a happiness that was on their heads from long ago. That's oilam, that shimei oilam, from a long time ago, which means the two crowns that we had at Har Sinai, that will be returned to us when we come back with the building of the third base of Hamikdash. Another thing that happened when Klal Yisrael prefaced, they're saying we will do and then we will listen. So then the heavenly voice came out and said to Klal Yisrael, who revealed to my children this secret that the ministering angels use? And that is that they say we'll do and then we'll listen. Generally, you first say you'll listen and then you'll do. Like it says in the Pasuk, how do we know that the angels do the same thing? Baruch Hashem Alachav, bless Hashem, His angels, Gibore Koyach Oisi Devari, the mighty strong ones that do His words, L'shemaya B'kol Devari, to hear the voice of His words. So you see, Bereisha Oisi V'hadu L'shemaya. First the Pasuk says, the ones that do His voice, His words, and then it says, L'shemaya, to hear His voice. Says you see that they're prepared to do, not like other servants, that first they want to hear, and then they'll know if they want to accept it or not. That's what Klal Yisrael did at that time. Hashem says, wow, who gave over the secret of the Malachim to my people, to my children, the Jewish people? So on this idea, Amr Abcham, Reb Chanina, Ma'idich Siv, what does it mean, the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim? Kitapuach ba'atzi hayar v'goyma, like the apple tree amongst the trees of the forest. Lama nimshlu Yisrael tabuch. That's a reference of the relationship between Hashem and Klai and Haklayis, and it's talking about the Jewish people. Why the Jewish people compared to an apple tree? Lay melacha to tell us the same concept. Matapuach ze piru kain la'olam. Just like this apple tree, that its fruits come out before its leaves, and that's the way the apple tree is. Other different than all of the trees, where there the here we're saying that the fruits come out before the leaves. Af Yisrael hikdim nasal nish. So the Klai Yisrael preface nasal, we will do, which are the fruits of the tree before the tree is even complete, before the leaves, which are the components of the tree, come out. So the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this concept. There was this tzaduki that saw Rava looking into, he was all fatifed in the sugi, like it's called. He was looking into his learning. And he was sitting on top of the fingers of his hand, under his leg. He had it under his leg. He was sitting and chuckling and he was thinking and learning. And he was crushing his fingers. And they were getting crushed. He didn't even realize it because he was so involved in his learning. And his fingers were flowing blood. So Amalei, so that Stuki said to Rava, "I'm Paziza, an impulsive nation. That you first put your mouth before your ears. That is, before you heard what you have to do and how hard it is. And if you're going to be able to survive it and do it, you already accept it. And you say, oh, I'm going to do it before you even heard it. Akati bebchuzaychi kamayisa. You're still in your impulsiveness. You're still doing things that are like impulsive. You're not even thinking things through. First, you should have listened to see if it's something that you could accept. And if not, then you don't accept it. What is this that you're saying we're going to do? Well, you don't even know if you can survive, if you can do it. So Malay, what did Rava tell him? Anan, us, we continue on to Amud Beis. That we go with completeness. That we go with Hashem, with completeness of heart. Like those that do out of love. And we rely on Hashem, and that He's not going to load us up with things that we can't do. So Ksiv Banu, regarding us, what does it say, passing in Mishlei? Tumas Yesharam Tanchim, the perfect faith of the upright shall lead them. And that is, we know Hashem is going to give us what we can survive and what's good for us. We don't have to ask Him, we know. He's our Father. But Hanachinshi Disogin Balilusa, but regarding these men, reference to the Tzedukim, that go with perversiveness. Ksiv Bahu, what does it say about them? Veselef Boigdim Yeshodim, that the perverseness of the faithless will destroy them. And that is, you're asking these questions, how could you, how do you know? You're never going to know everything in the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the world, He does everything for our benefit, and if He says, take the Torah, we take it and we run. So the Gemara says, Amar b'shmu b'anachmeini, Amar b'yoynesin. Ma'idach said, what does it mean when it says, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Libavtini achosikali, you captured my heart, my sister the bride. So the Gemara says, Libavtini ba'achas me'inoich. And as the pasuk ends, that you captured me with one of your eyes. What does that mean? Mitchila, in the beginning, when you were makabel the Torah, ba'achas meinach, was with one of your eyes. And that is, it was one. You said nishma. The kshatasi, when you perform it, that's at the end, then b'shteinach, that will be with two of your eyes. Then you'll have both components of both, of the listening, of accepting, and of the doing. You'll have the nasa and the nishma. That's what the pasuk means, that you captured my heart with one of your eyes, that at first it was one for you, and then ultimately when you're going to do it, it's going to be two. Amar Ula says, he makes a comment about what happened by Har Sinai, Aluva Kala, shameless bride, Mezana B'tei Chupasa, that is unfaithful under the chuppah, under the wedding canopy. And that is its reference to Klai Yisrael, that when they were standing by Har Sinai in that same place, right after the wedding, they went and served the eagle. They were unfaithful right there by the wedding canopy. So Amar Rav Mori Barad Bashmuel Micro, what's a pasuk that alludes to this concept, what happened at Har Sinai? So it's a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, Hacham Melech B'Mesibay, until when the king is still at his banquet, Nirdi V'Goymer, then my perfume, as the pasuk ends, Nosen Reichi, gave out its fragrance, and that is, I didn't smell that good anymore. I really was unfaithful there, Mamish by Har Sinai, at the time of the wedding. So Amar Rav, however, Rav says, Badain Chavivusi Higabon, but there's still some love that Hashem has for us, that even though the pasuk says about our disgrace, it still says in the way of love and of caring that we didn't totally get spoiled and putrefied. Because it says in the pasuk, Nosan, that my fragrance gave out for the cause of Esrecha. It doesn't say that it putrefied. That it says it gave out my fragrance to others, but it was still fragrant. It didn't say this is a disgusting smell. It's a beautiful smell, but it went elsewhere, and Hashem was, you know, so to speak, sad about that. But not that it was saying disgusting things about us, that it was a sriach, rather nosa. Now the Gemara brings a braisa, unrelated but related to the word aluva that we said regarding the shameless bride. So that word olav comes in this context. Tanabon, aluvin ve'in olvin. Those who are insulted and don't insult others. And that is, others speak to them with chutzpah and they're embarrassed, and but they don't respond like that. Sherman charpasin ve'in meshiv, and they hear their disgrace but they don't respond. Oisin me'ava v'smechim v'yisurin. They do out of love and they rejoice in their affliction. That is all this venom that comes from other people at them. They take it and they don't internalize it, and they're happy with their lot. Alein akaz of Eimer, regarding them, the pasuk in Shaftim says, "V'yahavav," that those that love Him, that love Hashem, "Ketzeis Hashem is b'gvrasa," like the sun going out with its might. And that is, these are people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showers strength on them and stamina, because they don't respond in kind to others that speak disgracefully to them. So the Gemara makes another comment relating to Matan Torah. Amar Yechid and Ma'adich said, what does it mean in the pasuk in Tehillim? Hashem Yitin Omer, Hashem gives a declaration. Hamavasri Tzvar Rav, and He heralds the mighty host. And the Tzvar Rav sounds like that a mighty host that it's talking about to the whole world, to all the nations. So the Gemara says it means Kol Dibe V'Dibe Shiyotzim P'Agvura, that every single word that came out of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nechlek L'Shem L'Shoynes, was split into 70 different languages. And that is, the Torah is the source for everything, and it came out, and that it, as we know, that Lashon HaKodesh is really the source of all the different languages, Kodesh Baruch Hu, it was split into everything. That was Tzvar Rav, a different source for this concept. Tanu Beger B'Shmol, it says a pasuk in Yirmiyah, Ukapatish Yifayit Tzela, like the hammer breaks the rock. And that's in reference to the Torah. That Ma'patish, that Nechlik will come in and say, just like this hammer breaks the rock into many different small pieces through the rock, through the hammer. I've called Dibe v'Dibe Shiyotzim Pei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nechlik L'Shem L'Shem. So to every single word that came out of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is split into 70 different languages. Amar Chanan Almar Papa Ma'adich said, what does it mean the pasuk in Mishlei? Shimu listen, ki negidim adabe, because princely things I'm going to say. So this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying. So the question is, Lama Nimshlu Divrei Torah Kenogid? Why the words of Torah referred to as a prince? So Lama Nimshlu comes to teach you this idea. Manogid Ze Yeshbei Lahomes Ulahachis, just like a prince. It's in his property, it's in his power to kill or to keep alive. Af Divrei Torah Yeshbei Lahomes Ulahachis. So to the words of Torah have in its power, in its arsenal, to kill or to give life. This is what Rava meant when he says, for those that act with the Torah with their right hand, that is, they use all their energy, and they're very busy to understand the secrets, like someone that uses his right hand, which is the main hand, then it's a drug of life. But for those that use it with their left hand, in other words, they don't use all their energy and all their time and resources to understand the words of Torah, for them it's a drug of death. And that is because, like we said, this is the words of Torah, you have to be careful with it. It's something that is like the Negidim, like the princes that could kill or keep alive. Dava Acher, another pshat in Negidim, in the prince, that called Dibe V'Dibish Yotzim Pei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Koishim Leishnekisam, that every single word that came out of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they tied two crowns in it. That is, we told them the words that they were able to see. They were actual words that were created. Like it says, Rei Mesakos, they saw the sounds. So the sounds that they saw had two crowns on it. That's what it means, negidim, because it says it in the plural of negidim, which is two crowns, that for every single word had two crowns. Amar Rabbi Shu ben Levi. Now the Gemara brings a few different statements from Rabbi Shu ben Levi in reference to Matan Torah. Ma'adich said, what does it mean, the pasuk in Shir Hashirim? Tzror ha-mur, a bundle of myrrh, doidi li, is my beloved to me, bein shoda yolan, that between my bosom is where he lays. What is the pasuk referencing to? Obviously, it's in terms of endearment between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael, but what's the mashal? Amar Kenes Yisrael of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Jewish people said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Af Pi Shemitzer Umeimar Li Doidi, even though my beloved, again, this is the pasuk, Tzor HaMor Doidi Li, that even though my beloved has distressed and embittered me, that's Meitzer and Meimar, like it says, that was by the eagle, when Hashem says, Hoirid Odecha, you have to take off your jewelry. So although I'm embittered, you took away all my jewelry you bought from me by the wedding. Bein shoda yolin, but between my bosom is where he lays. And that's because right after that we had to take off our jewelry, Hashem said, make the Mishkan. And that is, he wanted to put all his divine glory between the badim of the Aron. And that was by the Mikdash, by the first base of Mikdash, that was seen like two breasts sticking out of the Pereches, which was by the opening of the of the Mikdash, of the Mishkan, that was that although that it's made Tzer Meimli, that's Tzer HaMor Doyle, that although you embedded me and you took away all my jewelry, Pein Shod Hayom, but still you're here near me on my chest, that was like the HaKadosh Baruch was there in that area by the Bein Habad. Then he discusses a pasuk in Shir HaShirim that says, Eshkol HaKoyfer Doyle, that a bundle of henna was my beloved to me, Bekarmi Ein Gedi, in the vineyards of Ein Gedi. So what does that pasuk mean? What's that the reference to? So Misha Hakol Shaloi Mechaperli, that for the one who everything is his, that's the word of Eshkol, he will be Mechaperli, he will forgive me. That's the word Eshkol HaKoyfer Doyli HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the one that everything is his, he could do whatever he wants, he'll forgive me. And the end of the pasuk means Al Oven Gedi Shekaramtili, for the sin of the kid that I heaped on myself. And Rashi gives two interpretations. What is the sin of the kid, of the goat? Either it's a reference to the oven, to the sin of the eagle, which is also a small type of an animal, or it's a reference to avodah zarah. Like the word God means orchim, like God shulchan. The pasuk in Yeshaya means avodah zarah. So for the sin of the gedi, that's ein gedi. That's the pasuk says bekarmi ein gedi, for the that I heaped upon myself, that I gathered to desire other gods, like it says. These are your gods. Klaisel, they said the eagle, they were going to other gods. That's the end of the pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Eshkol, that he everything is his. He could be mechaper me for the sins of the gedi, of the vadazar that I went and heaped up on myself. So the Gemara says, "My mashma the high karmi lishna de machna." So where do you see elsewhere that the word karmi means heaping up? That's how you're interpreting the pasuk. Like we in the Mishnah, we learned kisei shel koyvis. Regarding the launderer's cheer, shekoyim imalav esakem, that they heap up the different clothing on there. So we see that the word karma means to heap up, that they would gather all the clothing. They had the launderer had a long board that had holes in it, and they would put all the things they would put the spices underneath that board, and the clothing that was on top of it would get the spices that they would burn the incense through the holes. So we see that the word karmim, as we see in Mishnaic literature, was meant to heap up. So that's how we interpret the pasuk of Bekarmi and Gedi, for the sins of the Gedi that I heaped on myself. So Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi continues interpreting different psukim relating to what happened there by Har Sinai. From Rabbi Shmuel ben Levi, Ma'idach Siv, what does it mean the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, L'choyev Ka'arugas HaBoisim, that God's cheeks were like a bed of spices? What is that? Obviously, that again, these are terms of endearment. What's the reference to? Kol diba v'diba shayotzim p'ya Kadosh Baruch Hu nismalik kol ha'olam kuli b'sam. That means from every single word that came out of the mouth of Kadosh Baruch Hu kibiyachu, the whole world was filled with fragrant spices. V'kivin shem diba rishu nismalik, but since from the first words he says, the whole world was already filled up. So, where are the spices of the second words going? There's no room for that smell to be there. The world is already full from the first smell. That's so that his cheeks, I mean his words, were like a bed of spices already filled up. So, how do you get more spices in? So, Hitzi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ruch Mitzvah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out the wind from his storehouses. And then he would take away one by one through the wind. He would get rid of the first smell, and that would go to Gan Eden. Then he would go ahead and again say another word, and more spices would come out, and then he would take rid of that, and that's how it would continuously go. Shunem, like it says over there at the end of that pasuk, Siv Seis of Shoshanim, that his lips are like flowers, Noit Fais Mer Oiver, that it drips flowing myrrh. So the drasha is that Oiver means that he was maver, that he would move on this dripping myrrh, which was the spices. And that was through Sifsais of Shoshanim, as the Gemara says, Altikri Shoshanim, El Shoshanim. Don't read it regarding flowers, rather that they repeat. So his lips repeated, that means the wind that came out of his lips repeated, and that was to Neitvus Maraiver, that it should remove the dripping myrrh. Again, that was to get rid of the first smells that were out in the world, and he would blow it out, he would get the winds to take it out, and then he would say it again, the words, and that's how it continuously had new smells with every single word. With every word that came out of the mouth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yatsa nishmas nishesol, the souls of the Jewish people departed. Shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, nafshi yatsa bedavri, that my soul departed with his words. So then, if already from the first words, their souls already departed, so how do they accept the second words if they were already dead? So the Gemara says, "Hayritel she'asa lahachias by meisim hechiasim." HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought down the dew that he's ultimately going to revive the dead with, and he revived them with that. Shnemak, it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, "Geshem nidvayis tanef elikim," that with generous rains HaKadosh Baruch Hu lavished on the people. And that was by Matan Torah, as the pasuk over there, the references in the context talking about Matan Torah, Nachaloscha Vanilla Atakananta, that your weary heritage you established. And that was through, again, through giving us reins of revival that enabled us to go ahead and be mekabel the heritage of the Torah. Remember, Shimon Levi called Dibi V'Dibi Shasim V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Another thing that happened every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke, Chazur Yisrael Acharei in Yud Bezmil. The Jewish people retreated 12 mil, because that was the complete measurements of the Machni Yisrael at that time in the Midbar. And the ones that were closest to the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they went so far back because of the fear of the voice that was coming out until the other end of the camp. However, the ministering angels went and pushed them little by little to get them back. They would help them to get closer because they were very weak, like a woman that tries pushing her son when they're walking. So that's what the ministering angels did to the Jewish people. Shanem, like it says over there in that pasuk, Malachei tzavoka is yedudin yedudin. That the ministering angels, they totter. So Altikur yedudin, don't read it that they totter, which sounds like that the ministering angels themselves totter. Rather, el yedadun, that they tottered others. It means that they helped Klai Yisrael come closer, don't worry, come to Kabbalah Seter. V'armi B'Shem Levi, again B'Shem Levi says, B'Shosha Ola Moshe Lamar, at the time when Moshe Beinu went up to the heavens, so they accepted the Aseres HaDibros. Then Moshe went up to get the whole Torah. So he comes up to Shemayim. Amr Malach Asharos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the ministering angels say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Nishalev, Master of the World, Mali Yeruish Shebeinenu. What is a man born from a woman here amongst us, amongst the angels, amongst the celestial beings, the spiritual world? Amr Lehen Lekabot Torah Bo. He came to accept the Torah. And this is where it is. This is the address. Amr Lefan, they said in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chamud Genuza. The precious treasure that was already treasured by you 974 generations before the world was created. And that is, Rashi goes through the Cheshbon that 2,000 years before the world, the Torah was created. And it was supposed to be for 2,000 years, like it says in the Pasuk in Tehillim, Kafei David Sivala Elavdar, for the thing that was commanded for 1,000 generations. It was supposed to be 1,000 generations, and only then the Torah was supposed to begin. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw the world's not going to last that long without Torah. So he went, and he didn't create those 974 generations, and he gave it after 26 generations. So the world was missing 974 out of the 1,000. But it was supposed to be 1,000 years before, 1,000 generations before the time it was supposed to be given. So if something that's so precious to you that you give so much time beforehand, at the Mavakish, Litna Lepasav, then you want to give it to flesh and blood? And they quoted him a pasuk and tell him, Mo Enish Kisis Kirena, what is a mortal that you're going to remember him? Uven Adam Kisif Kedena, and the Son of Man that you should recall him. And they continued over there, Hashem Adinenu, Ma'ad Shimcha B'chol Eretz, Hashem our Master, how mighty is your name on the whole earth? Asher Tenohayit Chal Shemayim, you should put your glory on the heavens. What they meant was to say that you're very mighty on the earth, and it's not fitting for you to put your glory over there. Rather, put on Shemayim. You don't need anything more on the earth. It's not enough for you. It doesn't pass, like they say. It should be in Shemayim. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, give them a response. They seem to have a good time. It shouldn't go down to earth. It should stay in Shemayim. He said, Hashem, Master of the World, I'm afraid they're going to burn me with the words of their mouth, with the heat that comes out. They're powerful spiritual beings. So says, hold on to my throne of glory and respond to them, and you won't get hurt. Like it says, the pasuk in Eiv, ma'achiz penei kisim. He was grasping on to the front of the chair. Parshes olav anonai, that he spreads on him his cloud. V'amir Ibn Nachum explains, melamed shepiris shakai miziv shchinasai va'anonai lav, that Hashem spread from the radiance of himself, of his divine glory, and his cloud in it. That is the abbreviation of the word parshes, is piris shakai miziv shchinasai lav, that he spread from his divine presence on him to protect him. So now Moshe Rabbeinu was emboldened. He has the protection of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I'm going to find the court case started. He said, Master of the World, Torah Shalat Noyis and Limak said, but what does it say in the Torah that you're giving me? It says, I am Hashem your God, that took you out of the land of Egypt. Some of them, he said to them, L'mitzrayim yiratim, did you go down to Egypt? L'parish tabatim, were you enslaved by Pharaoh? Torah l'mateilechem, what do you need the Torah for? This has nothing to do with you. Shuv maksev, but what else does it say over there? L'yilucha l'kim achem, you shouldn't have any other gods. So he said to the malachim, Bein amim atim shruyim, sha'evdim avodah zarah, continue on top of peites amid aleph. Do you live amongst other nations that serve avodah zarah, that you should protect yourself and not do avodah zarah? And do idol worship? Shuv maksev, what else does it say over there? Zochasem Shabbos Kachi. Remember the day of the Shabbos to sanctify it. Klumatim oisem alocha, shatim tzichim Shabbos. Do you do any work that you have to take one day and rest on that day and not do any constructive activity? Shuv maksev, but what else does it say over there? Leisisa, which says Shema Shav, that you shouldn't take a God's name in an oath in vain. Masa matan yesh minichim, do you have any business dealings that you're going to come and say take Hashem's name in vain? Shuv maksev, but what else does it say over there? Kabbalah sevicha v'semecha, you should honor your father and your mother. Ave'im yesh lechem, do you have a father and a mother? Shuv maksev, but what else does it say over there? Leisirtzach, don't murder. Leisinaf, don't commit adultery. Leisignav, don't steal. I understand. Kin yesh bechem, do you have jealousy amongst you angels that you're going to come to kill one another? Yitzahar yesh b'nech, when you have an evil inclination, did you come to commit adultery or steal? So miyad hoyd l'kadosh baruch hu. So then when they heard the tainis, they heard what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, so they agreed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like it says the pasuk in Tehillim, Hashem Adonainu mo'ad Hashimcha v'goyma, Hashem our master, how mighty is your name, and the pasuk over the ends of b'chol ha'aretz, amongst the whole land, however, ve'ilu t'nohoit chal ha'shamayim, like Siv, there the pasuk does not mention, put your glory on the heavens, because they agreed, you're mighty on the earth, it's not here in heaven anymore, lo'i b'shamayim hi, it's on the earth. Miyad, kol echad ve'echad nas lo'oyev, u'mosa lo'idavah. So right away, all of them became his friend, his beloved. And everyone gave him something. They gave him something. They taught him something. Shemar, like it says in Pasuk Tehillim, alisa lamarm, you went up to the heights. Shavisa shevi, you captured a captive. Lekachta matanis ba'adam, you took gifts because of man. Which means, b'schar shekerucha adam, lekachta matanis. In the reward that they called you man, you took gifts, that's because of the reward that they embarrassed you, and they called you Adam, which that means, Adam means Adama, means from the earth, that means a derogatory term. Because of that, you got all the gifts, you showed them that this is where exactly the Torah is supposed to be, by lowly man. And that's how they interpret many of the Mefarshim, this debate. What was the Malachim thinking, is that the Torah is a spiritual entity. It is the names of God. But the Torah is supposed to be amanas, la, supposed to be used. Kabbalah sevich v'semecha, lo yisirtzach. Because we are Adama, we are Adam. But since we are me'adama, from the earth, we could take it Adama, that we could go ahead and compare ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the purpose of the Torah. Not just to be something that we don't understand, which is a beautiful thing, but it's also amanas, la, and that was what Moshe Rabbeinu responded to him, and they became beloved. That's what you're doing in the Torah. That's even greater. That's taking it and making it into something more powerful. And that's why they all gave him gifts. And the Gemara says, "Af malcham oves mosle david." Even the angel of death gave him something, gave him a gift. He taught him something important. Shnem, like it says, a pasuk in Bamidbar, the yitnes hakatoyris veichaper la'am, that Aaron Akoyin went and he put the incense and he went and he gave forgiveness for the nation. And it says, "Vayamid ben amesim ben achayim begomim," that he went and he stood between the dead and between the live. And the living, and the pasuk ends over there, te'otzeh magefa, and that the plague ended. And therefore, ilav da'amalei mihaviyada, if not for the fact that the angel of death had told Aaron HaKoyen, Moshe Rabbeinu, this secret, how would he have known? It's not written in the Torah. So obviously that the angel of death told Moshe Rabbeinu, which Moshe Rabbeinu then told Aaron, that what you should do is, during a time of a magefa, of a plague, you go ahead and you take keteris, a panful, and you stand between the living and the dead, and that will stop the magefa, and that's how Aaron HaKoyen did it. We see that even the angel of death taught something to Moshe Rabbeinu, because they all became his beloved, and they said, you, what you're doing with the Torah, is greater than what we're doing. We're just learning it. You're actually going to be living it.